You're listening to The Birdbath, presented by The Fountain Report. I'm your host, Ryan Leach. Welcome back to The Birdbath. Each week, we scrape the surface of the news you need to know, so let's get into it. Kicking us off this week are two stories from Mars-owned companies. The first one is a survey that came from Banfield. Now, Banfield is one of the largest practice groups in the country and also is part of one of the largest practice ownership companies or conglomerate in the space. And it's interesting as we're going to dive into this survey here because we're always talking about interoperability and the importance of data sharing. But what Banfield just recently did is that they surveyed 1,000 U.S. dog and cat owners, and they analyzed the pet medical record databases and were able to gain insights on the state of heartworm prevention and prevalence in pets, including the seasonality and local trends. So what this was really interesting is that I asked the president of Banfield this question, was how do we get this data out of the tight grips of the larger groups and allow the information that exists within these large companies to be able to be shared across the industry? Well, it seems like Banfield is doing a step to try and help us understand what heartworm prevention looks like. But what the study showed was that 51% of pet owners are skipping year-round prevention. That comes as a pretty big issue as we're starting to see increases in several states that Banfield noted of 290% more cases of heartworm. This was something we saw a lagging of vaccinations, and now we're seeing a lagging of heartworm prevention. Some of it's coming from perhaps some of the mistrust that's being garnered or built around people and how they're viewing their own personal health, and that relates to the animals. But what we're seeing here is big numbers. So in the survey, which we'll make sure to link, Banfield showed that nearly 40% of pet owners don't believe that their pet is at risk even for heartworm disease, even at risk. Almost 30% say their pet is not on preventative medication. And then, as we said, 51% are skipping year-round prevention, which means they're just doing it as a seasonal treatment, which the data and the new records that are coming out and information is showing that we do need to find a complete coverage, year-round coverage for heartworm prevention. The other fact that I thought was perhaps pointing more towards some of the trends that we're seeing in the industry was that 32% of dog owners were neutral or unconcerned about heartworm disease since the condition is treatable. So that, just take that to the side. If 32% of a pet owner groups of dog owners were neutral or unconcerned because they knew that there was a treatment. Now, what we're seeing as we're talking, and as you guys like to know, and this week maybe I'll get on a bit of a soapbox, but we're always talking about access to care, and we're talking about the ability for people to take care of their animals. And one of the big issues is the cost of veterinary care and how expensive people are saying that it feels to take care of their animals. Well, do you know what's a lot less expensive than treating heartworm? It's actually preventing heartworm. And so the difficulty here is that we're seeing 32% of people are saying in the survey, right? 32% of the people that responded to this survey are saying that because something's treatable, it's not worth preventing. Kind of a big issue, a big difficulty here, something that I'm going to keep my finger on because it's important. It's important to understand that preventative medicine is the way to not only decrease the cost of pet care. It's a way to decrease the anxiety of pet care. It's a way to improve the lives of our animals. And also, the animals that do contract heartworm now become carriers and are bit by another mosquito and carry it to another and to another and to another. And so we do not have the ability to reduce the uptick of a very preventable and very treatable, luckily, condition. Now, 22% of cat owners, only 22% of cat owners knew that felines don't have a safe heartworm treatment option. So less than 25%, less than a fourth of people that own felines don't know that you can't treat heartworm, but they're still not finding them on preventative medications. And 51% of the entire sample size were skipping year-round prevention. So kind of a crazy study here. I would love to see this data and the raw data pull out and compare that to what to see what we're comparing with other groups that own large collections of practices and see if there's something there that perhaps we could find a way to be able to tackle this and have an even deeper understanding. The next Mars story, as I promised you, is not good news again, but give me some good stuff to talk about here, people, right? So Linnaeus has announced that they are laying off a collection of veterinarians in their UK practices. So Mars Inc. is laying off some of their veterinarian specialists, citing a mismatch between staffing levels and demand for veterinary care. Now, this is completely different than what we talked about last week with PetIQ, who are closing practices because they don't have the veterinary staffing available. Now, Linnaeus over in the UK is laying off staff because they don't have the demand to be able to meet it. Now, we saw this a little bit recently. The UK market has been going through some turmoil around pricing, and the market there is significantly more consolidated than what we have in the US market. And so some of these players, when they do hit a saturation point, do find a much more difficult spot. We talked about a couple weeks ago how there's an investigation into the pricing and anti-competitive work that's happening within the space. We're waiting for the results to come out about that. We've got some time before we'll hear the next steps there. But super interesting. I know I'm a broken record when I talk about this, but I tell you, everyone, look across the pond there, see what's happening in the UK, because it is a trending topic that will come to the US market. So we're seeing a decrease in the demand at UK veterinary clinics. And this was from some of the inside sources. They said that it was primarily specialists. And so if you expect the specialist to be that piece, it's not a direct line between GPs, but it is still something to keep our mind and eyes open about. Something else to keep our eyes on is January 2026. I can't believe that that's a time frame that even exists, let alone is something that's coming up in a little over a year and a half, right? But a new law in Colorado called the Veterinary Technician Scope of Practice Law is scheduled to go into effect January 1st, 2026. It's going to direct Colorado State Board of Veterinary Medicine to make rules allowing the supervision and delegation of certain tasks to veterinary technicians, veterinary technician specialists, or other personnel. Under the new law, a licensed veterinarian may delegate tasks that align with the board's rules after establishing a veterinary client-patient relationship, or a VCPR, with an animal or group of animals and the owner of that animal. The licensed veterinarian is required to provide an appropriate level of supervision, and then that will fall under the correct laws and accordances with what the state board has deemed the appropriate level of supervision and care. The dean of Colorado State University College of Veterinary Medicine said that the legislation will greatly help the veterinary shortage. Cool. I think this is really interesting. This is something that is a hot button issue. So I don't know if it's something that I'm going to fully weigh in on with my personal opinions on it, but it's something that is definitely discussed and heavily discussed. We talked about 2 weeks ago the AAVMC saying that there is a major need for more veterinarians and that the actual load that the new colleges can bring in won't be enough to offset what is going to be needed by 2030 or the continuous needs of the industry. So if we're expecting what the US-based projections are for the continued growth of the veterinary space, something of adding capacity is really interesting. And knowing that Colorado is one of the first states that's taking a step to this, super cool, super interesting to experience. Now, we do have to pair that against the story we just had with Linnaeus and talking about a lack of demand in the veterinary space overseas. So let's see what happens here. New laws are going to be continuing to come out. It's not something that I'm expecting to see slowing down. The way that we're seeing medicine being practiced in the US is changing. It's continuing to change, whether it's who is doing the continuous care of those animals, where that care is happening, what the tools or software or interfaces are that people are doing that care with, are all changing. And so this is just another step within that. Finally, talking about things that are constantly changing, but a company that has been well ahead of the curve and deserves all the accolades here is VetCT. So VetCT's founder was awarded Entrepreneur of the Year. Dr. Victoria Johnson, CEO of the veterinary teleradiology company VetCT, was named Entrepreneur of the Year at BUPA Every Woman in Technology Awards. Dr. Johnson founded the UK-based company in 2009. It's an incredible business. If you haven't had a chance to see what VetCT does, they have, and I'm going to probably butcher their pitch here, but I will give you my view of it. They have set up an opportunity here for people across the world to be able to do teleconsultancy calls with radiologists and a lot of specialists all over the world that allow practices to be able to get that second opinion from a licensed, boarded, certified DVM, veterinarian, or specialist in that field, and allow them to be able to then provide a high level of care without having to wait for that specialist to be available or go to the referral or do those additional things. So VetCT, if you haven't even, if you're looking for a team of people that are just passionate and incredible, I was not surprised at all to hear about Dr. Johnson winning this Entrepreneur of the Year award. She has put together an incredible team. Every person I've ever had the opportunity to work with at VetCT has been absolutely spectacular. So congratulations to Dr. Johnson and congratulations to the entire VetCT team for having someone at the helm that's doing such an incredible job. Now, finally, this is off topic, but if you had a chance to see the eclipse on Monday, how cool was that? I came into that with the lowest expectations possible. I figured, you know what? The sun goes away every night and I don't stay up and watch it happen. But this was something really, really incredible. So, you know, I don't know if I'm letting the cat out of the bag. I think it's probably going to be a while before we have another one come across. But I really think that, you know, if you missed it, it's definitely something that you should check out. I think, or should have checked out. And I think there's some happening in the next couple decades. So put it on your calendar then. Just kind of a cool experience, part of humanity to be able to experience something that was, you know, in my view, low expectations, but super neat to be able to see. Here in Dallas, we were in the zone of totality, which is how I'm going to reference the Metroplex for the next decade or so. But it was really cool to see. And so for everyone that saw it, cool to connect and I'll be looking up at the sky at the same time. And for everyone that didn't see it, look at some pictures online and ask people that did, because it was pretty cool. It was very impactful and something fun to see. So as always, though, for more on these and other stories, make sure to check out the Fountain Report and subscribe. There's always a link in the bio. And don't miss out on any episodes of The Bird Bath by subscribing and rating the show. You can always check us out on TikTok at The Bird Bath Pod, as well as our Instagram. And for The Bird Bath, I'm Ryan Leach. See you next week.